Welcome to the Confidence Lounge podcast, where we cover all things confidence in life and business. I'm your host, Elise Conroy, and I'm on a passionate mission to help thousands of women across the world feel more confident from the inside out. Because not on my watch am I ever going to watch another woman do insecure life and business again. So if you're ready to become your most confident self, mama, or businesswoman, you're exactly where you're supposed to be. So grab your favorite beverage, get nice and comfy, and get ready to receive today's confidence injection. Hello, my beautiful friend, and welcome back to this week's edition of the Confidence Lounge podcast. How we feeling? How we feeling? Okay, I just got back from a glamping trip, which was amazing. It was in the mountains, beautiful, crisp, clean air, recharging me. I just wanted to be present and have fun. But holy guacamole, let me tell you about the energy depletion that happens when you go glamping with a toddler. Has anyone else experienced this out there? If so, oh my God, I'm sending you so much love because I am so exhausted. It's like I need several naps or maybe just several days to recover from this experience because, man, having a lot of open space for this guy to run was a lot. And, you know, it's like you hear people talk about this, but you don't actually understand what it's like until you're going through it. I get it. And I'm tired. It is so next level draining going on vacation with these little wild creatures, but so much fun. And I'm so glad that we did it, but mama needs a nap. So you might hear it in my voice today. I'm definitely tired. The energy level is low, but I'm going to rest and recover this weekend to really get my energy reserves back up and restored because holy guacamole, like I said, yikes, toddler running. Whoa, thousands and thousands and thousands of steps a day. Okay, so I actually pivoted for this week's topic as I do ever so often when I get super inspired, but I posted something while I was on our glamping trip. Because there is this trend that is going around on social media about how social media is not real. And it's like, we know this on a logical level. But what people have been doing, and I think that this is so inspiring, I'm usually not somebody that jumps on these type of trends, but this one is just so real that I wanted to be a part of this to share with you. But it's basically talking about what we see on social media is not always the real deal. And what this is doing is opening up an opportunity for people to talk about what they are currently struggling with. So I opened up and shared five things that I'm currently struggling with. And I posted this in the moment, just not even thinking about it. And then I came back and checked my phone a couple days later. And oh my God, the messages from you all, the comments, I was over here weeping. And just as I'm reading these DMs and reading the comments that you posted, because I forget sometimes that being this level of raw and authentic is so empowering for all of us as women, because it's a permission slip for other women to do the same. And it's like, think about when you go to a party and you see the first person get on the dance floor, and then all of a sudden everybody's dancing, everybody's having the greatest time because that first person was brave enough to do the damn thing, right? So they got on the dance floor. Other people are like, okay, they're doing it now. I'll do the same. That's the same concept here with this type of conversation, because when I share this level of rawness, this level of vulnerability, this level of authenticity, oh my God, the connection that it creates is just moving and it touches my heart in such a way. So that is why I pivoted on today's topic, because I want to go even deeper into some of the things that I'm struggling with and why and what specifically I'm doing to help myself. Because what I found with these five topics that I shared are a lot of you are in the same place as women. And I want to give you some tools that I use to help myself and some tools that I use to help the women that I coach. So that way, when you are going through these moments, A, you know you're not alone, and B, you have some tangible things to work with to help you get to the other side. So the other valuable part about this post is we are so tempted as women to compare ourselves to other women that we see online. So one thing that I want to call out just as we start this conversation is none of us are perfect. None of us have it all figured out. We are all a work in progress. So you might be looking at an influencer, maybe it's a beauty influencer, it's a fitness influencer, it's a mom influencer, and comparing yourself to that person of, oh, I should be more like her. I should have it all together. Oh, look at her. Her life is perfect. It's not. Social media is a highlight reel. People show you what they want to see. And we never truly know what's happening behind the scenes or what people are truly struggling with unless they tell you. So we've got to stop painting this illusion that fuels the cycle of compare and despair, because everybody struggles. And when people are projecting perfection, which I know this is something I have been guilty of my entire life, that's not always the case, right? There's still insecurities going on. There's still doubts that are happening. There's still fears that are going on. That is a normal part of the human experience. But by only projecting perfection, what we're doing is we are saying it's not okay to have doubts. It's not okay to have fears. It's not okay to talk about insecurities because it makes you weak or it makes you less than. That is the dialogue that I want to start having. And this is what I do with the women that I work with, because we don't feel safe to share these parts of ourselves. We don't feel safe to say, hey, I'm going through an insecurity, and then have people think, oh my God, she's flawed. She doesn't have it all together. She's a fraud, right? We've got to change this perception, because when we are hiding these parts of ourselves, it creates a lot of shame. It creates a lot of judgment. So it's totally natural to then fall into compare and despair, to say, oh, well, I'm the only one going through this. Everybody else is so perfect. And then we shame ourselves and judge ourselves for everything that we think that we're not, or all of the places that we're not yet in life. And we got to stop that, because all that's doing is making us feel terrible every single day. And I know I've definitely done that too, right? It's like I'm having a bad day, indulging in one of these five things that I'm about to share with you, and I see somebody else who is the opposite, and I'm like, well, look how easy it is for her. Everything's just, you know, sunshine and roses in her life, right? And it's so easy to fall into that as humans. So we want to be very on to ourselves when that happens, because we don't know the true story. And I know I've had so many conversations with women that I've coached, and they'll post something online and the total opposite is happening in their real life. And I'll ask them, why did you do that? And they're like, because I can't admit the truth. I can't admit what's actually happening. It's too painful. So they continue to project perfection because they feel safer doing that, right? So I want to have a real conversation with you today to really give you a permission slip to own these areas of your life that are a part of your struggle, because your struggle story will end up being some of the most powerful growth opportunities, some of the most powerful fuel that you ever have in your life. And this is where I want to see all of us as women changing this dialogue with each other, right? Like, let's lean into feeling safe to talk about our struggles. And I'm going to be the brave one who takes a step forward to do that with you today. So I want to highlight five things that I am currently struggling with in my life. And it's interesting because there's a part of me that feels scared to even talk about this deeper. Like, when I first put that up, it was like, ugh, like I felt that little vulnerability, like twinge, where I'm like, oh my God, like I'm putting that realness out there. But here's the deal, is I wouldn't be a product of my product if I wasn't sharing this part of it. Because what comes along with teaching confidence is being willing to feel insecure. Because you can't feel confident unless you're willing to feel all of the gamut of emotions that takes you out of feeling confident, right? So let's talk about these five things that I'm currently struggling with, because I want to just be so authentic with you about this, because I know somewhere in your life right now, you're going through something that you haven't talked about yet. So once again, let's use this as an opportunity for us to have that dialogue with each other, because it is truly safe to talk about these struggle moments. All right, struggle point number one is I really struggle to show up online. So this might come, and all of these might come as a surprise to you, right? You might be like, oh my God, Elise, this seems so easy for you. But it is not, because I am not somebody in my natural state of being as a person who loves to share. And I have two social media accounts. I have my professional one, and then I have a personal one. And on the personal one, I don't think I shared a post for over a year, because I'm just not somebody who's out there sharing my life all the time. I take a lot of pictures, but I don't share a lot. And it's totally the opposite of how I used to be. I used to be that person that was sharing every single detail about every single moment, because I was stuck in that pattern of trying to prove to you how fabulous my life was. I was like, oh, I'm going to show them every single thing I eat for breakfast is the most amazing thing ever, right? Like, look at this trip that I'm on. I have the best life ever. Aren't you so jealous, right? I'm giving you FOMO because I'm living my best life. And ew, that is just so not how I operate anymore. And I truly am in this season of life where so much of what I'm living is mine. And I don't want to share it with the world because I'm just so hyper present, living my best life. And when I'm in that state of pure presence, the last thing that I'm thinking about is sharing it with everybody, because I'm so in it with whoever's in front of me. So sharing is not something at this point in my life that really comes natural for me. And being somebody who is in the online space, who has an online business, there are a lot of moments where I feel pressured to show up. And the second I start feeling pressured, it starts to feel forced. And there is a part of me that the second that pressure and that feeling of, you know, forcing me to show up when I don't want to, the second that comes in, I would just rather not show up at all. I'm just like, oh, F it. Like, no, I don't want to do that. And before, what I would do when I first started, because now I'm 5 years into my business, right? So in the beginning, I would just push through that because that's what I had to do in the corporate world. It was no days off. I had to show up regardless of how I was feeling. And when I would show up in that type of energy, I noticed something so interesting is I would actually repel people away because they could feel it. And I had somebody once say it's like having online BO, right? It's like you put up this post with the energy of, I don't want to be here. I don't actually want to post this. And it repels people away. So I now have given myself this permission slip to where if it does feel forced, if I do feel pressured to show up, I'm just not going to show up. And that's okay. Like I took a multiple month Instagram sabbatical. It was one of the best gifts that I've ever given myself because I'd gotten so almost like addicted to this thing of like, oh, I'm on a walk in the neighborhood. I have to like take a picture of this to share online. And it was so much about thinking about how I was going to share in this evolution of business. And I didn't like that my life had become that. So when I get into that space, I really just want to have this permission slip for myself to go through periods of life and work where I just keep that part of me to myself. I don't have to be sharing about stuff that I'm doing with the people in the CAN program. I don't have to be sharing about what I did every single day in my life. I get to just have those be mine, and that's okay. And if I am called to share, if I am inspired to share in that moment, then that's okay too. So I've really given myself this all access pass to just show up when I want to show up and not show up when I don't want to show up, right? And it is so liberating to be in this space because it was not like this the first few years of business. I was going through this idea that I had to climb the content mountain and I wanted to have everything scheduled and posted and I wanted to have everything perfect. And I would spend over 40 hours a week writing content. And it was literally killing my soul because it was showing up because I had to, not because I genuinely wanted to. And I have 100% flipped that narrative. And there are so many people in this online business space that are like, least, what are you doing? You are costing yourself. And I get it. I know I'm costing myself consistency and connection in my business. And I don't care because I want to do what's natural to me, what's authentic to me, because authenticity is the one thing you can't fake. And there are so many times I open Instagram and I'm like, ew, online BO, ew, online BO. Like I can tell that people like how I was are posting from this fake place and this forced place where they feel like they have to versus genuinely wanting to. And when I post from that place, it gets zero likes, it gets zero engagement. There's no people having, you know, inspired breakthroughs from the stuff that I'm talking about. They're just scrolling right along because they can feel that energy. So I get that it's costing me. And I've had so many people that are gurus in online marketing, digital marketing, come to me with these strategies and the ideas. And I'm like, I don't care. I used to teach those strategies and ideas because that's what I did when I was working in corporate, right? It was like all the marketing. I used to give that to my clients when I was doing business coaching. I don't do any of that anymore. I'll have, you know, people who are entrepreneurs come to me and they're like, I don't want to post today. I'm like, okay, so don't. So if you are somebody who is an entrepreneur and you want a coach who's really going to push you to show up on Instagram, I'm not the one. I'm not it because that is not the season of life that I'm in right now. So my formula for this to really help myself in these moments, and if you are anybody who ever feels pressured to show up online, feel free to take this formula and help yourself through this, is number one, I honor the seasons. So I honor there's going to be times where I want to post 10 times a day because I am so excited. I'm so inspired. I'm so passionate about whatever it is that's going on. And then there's going to be times that the opposite happens where I just feel like I want this to be mine. I want to just soak in the glory of what I'm creating. I want to be so hyper present with my life and everything that's happening both personally and professionally. And I'm going to honor both of those because both are important. Both are valuable. The second part of it is I really am trusting my human design. So if you have yet to dive into human design, I highly encourage you to see what type you are. You can go on. There's hundreds of different online tests that you can take for free to just give yourself the type and it'll tell you about your profile, because this to me has really set me free in life. So I am a generator. If you are unfamiliar with that, what that essentially means is I have a lot of energy, which will probably come as no surprise to you, right? And so when the energy is there to produce, it's like a massive momentum wave that I need to ride to let it all come out of me. And then on the other side of it, I might not show up for a month or two, a day, whatever it might be, because I've given all my energy and I need time for that to then replenish so that way I can give again. So I honor that. And I really know that that is a innate part of me where when the whatever it is that I want to talk about comes, it's going to come out with such fury. It's going to be so powerful. It's going to be life-changing. And I honor that. And on moments where I don't have that, that's okay too, right? So when I need to talk about it, I'm going to talk about it. And I remember when I was working in beauty and before I had learned about human design, and this was always something that drove me crazy, being a product developer and a marketer, I would have bosses tell me, go sit in your cubicle and figure out the next $1 million idea. Okay, that is definitely not the way that I work. If you work that way, kudos to you. That is not the way that my brain, my body, all of the things function. And I cannot just create a $1 million thing on demand, right? I've got to go out. I've got to live. I've got to be inspired. I've got to put myself in spaces where all of those creative juices can get flowing. And that never happened when I was sitting inside of my cubicle. And I would ask my boss, hey, let me go have a creative inspiration day. I'm going to go to this museum or see this exhibit. Or, you know, while I'm on a trip to go develop something in China, I'm going to go to this, you know, island in Asia and see something. And that's where some of the most successful products I ever developed came from, is because I was out there living. And I had a mentor once tell me, be a sponge and absorb everything that you see, and just trust that everything that you're seeing is going to lead you to your next remarkable development. And it always did. It never happened in the confines of my office or cubicle of whatever it was. It came from going out and living, getting a massage and being so open to receiving that all of a sudden the ideas just come and I don't have to try. So that is how I truly love to create. And when bosses would tell me, just go sit in your cubicle and create your $1 million idea, I would literally tell them that's not how it works. And they would fight me because they're like, well, that's your job. Go do your job. And I'm like, well, then let me out of this office. Get me out of 40 hours of meetings so I can go out and actually do that, right? And now being an entrepreneur, I do get to do that. So I just know, like what I just experienced on this camping trip, I went out, just stayed in the forest, was 100% present, just having so much fun with my son and my family, just being inspired by being in nature, grounding in. And I know something remarkable is going to come from that presence, right? I just trust it. I feel it in my body. That's how I work best. So I've really let go of what I call, I'm doing air quotes, the right way, and I just do it my way, because I have done so many Instagram marketing classes. I have done so many ways on how to grow your audience, how to be inspired, how to go viral, whatever. Blah. Like I think of all of that and it just feels like a death of soul. So I am not doing it wrong for doing it my way, because I tried to do it those ways in business and it didn't work for me. I just know that my way is the right way. So I give myself full permission to honor the seasons and trust my rhythms, my cycles, and that it's going to come when it's meant to come. So the next area where I really help myself is I give myself full permission to take social media breaks if I'm not feeling aligned or inspired to show up. So like I said, I don't force myself to show up anymore. And when I gave myself permission slip to take a multiple month Instagram sabbatical, it was so freaking inspiring. I had a friend who's also a coach, and she took, I want to say it was almost a year off, and she was on my podcast, and I asked her before we recorded, I was like, how did that feel? And she's like, it set me free. She's like, I'll never show up because I have to ever again. Like, I'm just going to continuously take breaks if I need it, because I need to be me first. And I'm not, you know, like for me with what I'm doing, I'm not trying to be an influencer. I'm not trying to be Insta famous. I'm not trying to do any of that. I'm trying to give people tools that they need to change their life. And if I need to go back and recharge because I've been giving, that's okay. So I truly give myself the most beautiful permission slip to come back when I'm ready and not make it a problem at all that I was gone. I see so many people come back from Instagram breaks or social media breaks, and they give this huge detailed explanation about why they were gone and all the things that they are doing. No, I don't know anybody an explanation. I was just recharging and I came back when I was ready. So that is really where that whole entire struggle with social media comes from and how I help myself out of it. So if you find yourself in that same place, just do not force it. Just think of letting it flow like a beautiful river that is just gently flowing through nature, versus like you're on, I'm picturing somebody in like whitewater rapids, like on that boat struggling to keep up, and they're falling out and they're having to get back on the boat. Like, don't make it more painful for yourself than it needs to be. Just honor the pull, honor when you are, you know, inspired to show up, when you're passionate about showing up, and then give yourself full space to rest and to recharge and to refill your inspiration cup, so that way you have more than enough to give from, because you don't ever want to have to force yourself showing up. That people will feel that energy on the other side of it. So that is point number one, struggling to show up on social media. Don't like showing up online. Not my favorite thing, not natural to me, but you know what? I give myself permission for that to be okay, and it's not a problem. Okay. The next area where I struggle is with my skin. So what I talked about in the post is how I don't love posting unfiltered pictures. It's very challenging for me. And my entire life, I have been told a lot of things about my skin, that it's too bumpy, that my pores are too big. And this really was something that came up a lot when I worked in the beauty industry, because think about what happens in beauty. We are projecting perfection. And here I am with somebody who is developing products, marketing products, and I have imperfect skin. And I once had a boss say something, and I overheard her say this, and this was so painful when this happened. But she was talking about all the people that could be used in the company that could be models. And I know that they had wanted to use me, and there was something that was keeping them from using me. And it was so strange because I didn't understand what was keeping them from using me. And I heard her say, "What a shame Elise has such shitty skin because she's so pretty. I'd love to use her as a model, but nobody would buy the foundation that I put on her speed bump skin." Oof, okay, that's a hard thing to hear because it's validating a pre-existing insecurity that I already had about myself going back to childhood, because I always suffered from really bad cystic acne. I have a lot of acne scars on my skin. I have a lot of challenges with, you know, bumps on my skin. So I've always been on this mission to find a foundation or a concealer or something that will give me that beautiful skin that I see on so many different women. And I look at women who have this beautiful poreless skin that's just glowing all the time. And that's something I've always aspired to have. And then when social media started, oh my God, here comes a whole nother layer of comparison and wanting to fix this about myself, because I would see all these women with pictures online and I'm like, oh, but look at her skin. And I'd see these makeup companies, and mind you, I'm working in the beauty industry when this is happening. I'm seeing these makeup companies, like I remember when Beauty Blender came out and it was like, oh, the sponge will change the way that your foundation lays on your skin. And I would see these before and afters or these videos of using the sponge and all of a sudden your pores disappear. And I'm like, oh, if I just get a Beauty Blender, then I'll finally have perfect skin. If I just use the latest foundation, I'll have the perfect skin. And here I am as a product developer developing these products, still believing that I could create a product that would fix my skin. Oh my God, like I'm sending so much love to that version of myself that believed that, because my entire life I've been looking for the solve to fix my skin. And when, as I've aged, the challenges that I've been facing, it went from acne to then wrinkles. And when I put up pictures of myself, it is so challenging for me not to go on Instagram stories and just slide to the Paris filter, because that Paris filter just blurs everything out. It's so perfect, because it is so scary for me to show you that flaw, because I've gotten so much negative feedback about that my whole entire life. So I have this fear that now being in this online digital world and having, you know, the Zoom beauty filter on, that when people meet me in person, they're going to be shocked by my skin. And I have met several beauty influencers in real life that I'm like, whoa, that is not how you look online, because they spend so much time editing their photos and it's shocking. And I'm like, oh my God, people are going to have the same reaction about me. They're going to see me and be like, damn, Elise has a lot of wrinkles and some bumpy ass skin, because I post pictures that are completely filtered, right? So this has been a challenge my whole entire life. And what is totally a mind F to me is when I got pregnant, my acne went away and my pores shrank. And I really believed that, oh my God, it's finally happened for me. It was the first time I've ever felt secure with my skin. And now that I'm a year and a half postpartum, my acne and my textured skin is back. And so now my insecurities about my skin are back. And here I am back filtering all of my pictures again, because it is so hard for me to accept that I'm still in this season of life. I just turned 40. Now I've got all these other skin issues. My neck is starting to look older, right? Like there's all these things. I'm losing my elasticity in my face, and being pregnant also aged my face. Has that happened to any of you? Because I know a lot of my friends who were pregnant at the same time as me were all talking about how being pregnant accelerated the aging process. And that's because all of those things that our body was giving us was giving our baby. So it does. You age during pregnancy. And so now I have these deeper forehead wrinkles. I've got necklines. I've got deeper crow's feet. I'm losing the elasticity in my cheeks. My skin's starting to sag. And for the first time in my life, I've seriously considered getting Botox and filler, which is something I've never actually entertained. And I'm not going to do it at this point. I'm not going to say that I never will, because I've learned to never say never in my life, but it would be so much easier, right? It would be so much easier to then not have to see this thing that is, when every time I look at it, I feel insecure. So when I think about my skin, this has been a lifelong challenge. And I know for so many women, they've lived this same experience. You might be living this right now. And when I think to that product developer in me, this is where I talk about all the time about us as beauty developers, as beauty industry people who are doing marketing. We're selling you this illusion that this product is going to fix that insecurity, but it's not. I've literally developed, I can't even count how many foundation formulas, still believing if I wore this, I was going to have perfect skin, and then I would put it on. And I'm like, but wait, it's still settled into my pores. Hold on. It looked poreless in the beginning. It looked airbrushed in the beginning. It looked flawless in the beginning, but wait, now this concealer is starting to settle in and I see my wrinkles again, right? Like this, it's still this illusion. So I want you to think about right now, how many businesses would go out of business today if you truly didn't have these insecurities? So when I fall into this place where these insecurities about my skin go to level 10, because they do, here is the formula that I use to help myself through these moments. And it all starts with letting go of the conditioning that I have grown up with my whole entire life, that perfect skin is beautiful. And if you think of what we were told growing up, oh, look at her, use this skincare product and you'll have perfect skin. Oh, when you get wrinkled, that's when women go to pasture, right? Their old skin is not beautiful. You got to get on anti-aging early, start getting filler early, right? Like I see these girls in their 20s who are getting fillers so young. And I joke in LA because everyone has what I call the cat face, right? I was just out to dinner with my friends and we were shocked by the amount of women who walk in with the LA face, which is basically you get filler in your cheeks and it lifts your cheekbones up. You get, you know, your lips done. And you have this face where it's like that beautiful heart-shaped face with all the perfectly lifted features, but it's this little, it's like a cat face, you know? And so I was joking with my friends and I'm like, oh, another cat face, meow, here they are, meows everywhere. Because so many people in LA have this perception, and all across the world now, it's not just LA centric, right? But so many people have this perception of they have to look like this in order to feel beautiful, in order to project the perfection and the perfect illusion of what beauty is. And it's just conditioning that was handed to us. And we can let that go today. So I know this, right? Because I've lived both sides of it. I've lived on the side where I thought I could really fix myself from the outside in. And now I understand that is not a real possibility, because the feeling of beauty, the feeling of confidence, the feeling of feeling good enough, that is an inside job. So when I'm sitting in front of the mirror and my skin is telling me, oh my God, you look old, you look wrinkled, you look tired, what I do is I say to myself, if nobody had ever told me that looking this way was a problem, would I still believe that? Because I wouldn't know that there was any different, right? And I look at my beautiful son who is a year and a half old and he has no idea. He has no idea that there's such a thing as a beauty standard. He has no idea that this is what it is and what it isn't, right? Because he has no conditioning yet. He's literally a clean slate with no programming, no belief system. He has no idea, right? And the little girls in the world start this way too. Until we start hearing marketing, until we start having our mom's insecurities passed down to us because she's telling us we need to look a certain way in order to feel accepted or to feel loved or to be good enough. And this is all stuff that we can let go of in our adult life. So when that happens, when I'm sitting in front of the mirror and my brain gets mean about how my skin is imperfect, I just let go of the idea that perfect skin is beautiful. And I stop looking for products to fix what isn't broken. Because once again, I've tried as a developer, I'm the source. I am the source of this insecurity, right? And I'm the source of the creator of the product that helped you overcome this insecurity. So I stopped trying to look for products that made my skin poreless and flawless. I've used all the things, I've layered all the concealers, right? The only way that I can truly have perfect skin is to filter it online, which once again is a lie. Just once again, feeling that insecurity. So I just let go of it all. And I look in the mirror and I get honest with myself about what I see now. And I repeat something, and you can feel free to use this mantra too if this feels good to you. And I say, I see you. I'm learning to love you because you are a part of me. And I'm choosing not to war against you because I love and accept all parts of me. Acne and wrinkles does not subtract from my beauty. And I'm letting go of any conditioning I have received that has told me otherwise. And that is my permission slip that I say to myself again and again as the insecurities come up, because they do. And because this is something I have lived with my entire life, because this is my habitual programming, because this perceived flaw has been so painful and something that so many people have made comments about my whole entire life, this has been a really rough one for me to truly overcome. So I have to do this work again and again and again. And when we have these deep rooted insecurities, that might be something that you have to do too, right? Because there are a lot of layers. And because this insecurity was rooted for me very young in life, this has been a tough one. And especially now, the layers of conditioning, the layers of ideas that you can't be a woman who has wrinkles, right? And still be perceived as beautiful or good enough, all of this crappy conditioning that we've been handed, this is something that I have to actively overcome sometimes on a day-to-day basis. And because this programming was so deep in me, and because these thoughts and beliefs that I have about my skin are so habitual because I've been thinking them for so long, this is what has made me a really beautiful product for so many companies, right? Because my skin issues make me a product. And I have made the bold decision at this point in my life that I refuse to allow companies to profit off of my insecurities that they have created for me. Because look, if they never told me that my skin was a problem, I wouldn't have an insecurity about it. And for so many of us as women, this is where our insecurities come from, is marketing, is once again, our moms telling us this or that, right? Like, we can choose to let go of these ideas of what beauty has to be, of what we have to look like. We can choose to let go of those today and just accept ourselves exactly for who we are and say those loving things to ourselves as we look in the mirror. And this is how you override and overcome these insecurities in real time. And look, you might have to do it again tomorrow. That's okay. That for me is now just a normal part of my self-talk, is loving myself through it, being my biggest cheerleader, being my biggest advocate, telling myself that, hey, all of that crap that these people offered you growing up, that's not real. I'm choosing to love myself exactly for how I am now. And that comes with the skin, that comes with the wrinkles, that comes with the acne. I still love myself unconditionally, right? And you can do the same thing now. So that is insecurity number two, is really struggling with my skin and not loving the idea of posting unfiltered pictures. So that's something I'm actively working on. And I'm not gonna lie, every time I post a picture, I have this moment of ick, like, ugh, it would have been so much easier just to put that filter on. But I'm letting myself sit in the discomfort of that because this is huge growth for me. And once again, being a product of my product is showing you the raw, unfiltered, real me. Does it feel comfortable? No, but I'm learning how to navigate that discomfort of being 100% real, 100% raw, 100% unfiltered, because that's really who I am. Why would I want to show you anything otherwise? Okay, number three, and this I know is for a lot of you something that comes up all the time. This is something that I'm currently navigating right now. It is not easy, and that is wanting to be there already. So I have lived this pattern, once again, just like my skin insecurity, my entire life. I always want to rush to be at the finish line. And this comes up personally and professionally. So it might be a business goal. And it's so ironic because I remember getting to a point where I had this whole entire goal of my life as a little kid of just wanting to make six figures, right? Because back in the day, that was a lot of money. And early on in my career, I hit six figures. And I just remember all of a sudden, I was like, okay, I made $100,000. I'm ready to be at 150. And it wasn't even like I'd sat in the beauty of this raise for more than 2 seconds. It was like, I was so quick to be on to the next thing. And then once I hit 150, I was like, okay, now I'm ready to be at 200. And I just kept changing the finish line of these goals that I set for myself. And I never allowed myself to actually relish in what I had created because now I was already wanting to be to the next place. So being there already is this illusion that I have struggled with, because when I live in this pattern, I get really frustrated, I get really impatient, and I know that these two feelings are my kryptonite. They always burn me out. They kill my passion and joy as I start to get into this pattern of frustration. And going back to my human design, being a generator, my weakness is frustration. That is the one feeling that spins me out every single time. So I noticed this coming up very, very hot when I came back from maternity leave, because I just had assumed that once I had left, I created the stable foundation for my business and I was going to just come back and make an Instagram post and be like, all right, I'm back. And then all these people are going to want to work with me. That is not how it happened. It was basically like starting from ground zero because I had taken a year and a half off. So I had to start over. And oh my God, that was so painful because that is not how I saw it going. And I just wanted to be there already, right? I'm like doing the air quotes again, because I wanted to be in a place where all of a sudden it was just back to clients coming in the door, coming back to business booming, coming back to getting speaking engagements left and right. But look, I closed the doors for a year and a half. I was, you know, maintaining my current relationships with my current clients. I was closing out all of the coaching programs that I had signed before I had gotten pregnant. And then I took a lot of time off because I wanted to be present with my pregnancy. I was super sick. Then on the heels of having my son, I took, you know, a month off of that and, you know, had that second part of maternity leave. So I closed down shop and it was very challenging for me when I came back, and all of a sudden I just wanted to be there already again, and I wasn't. And I had so much drama about that. I wanted my podcast to be exploding in the same way it was before I had left, but it wasn't. I remember seeing a post from another coach who had launched at the same time as me, and her podcast went from being in the top 10%, which is where I was at, which at the time I felt so good about, but then all of a sudden she went to the top 1%, and then I shamed myself for not being there and was in the whole compare and despair game there. Oh my God, so much drama. So I've really let go of these imaginary finish lines because they create so much pressure. And I'm just sinking into the most beautiful trust that I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be, because if I was meant to be there already, I would be. So my formula to really help myself through this is the first thing when I notice this coming up, and this is what I had done for myself after maternity leave, is defining where there already is. And for that example, it was I wanted to be fully booked and I wanted to have a podcast that was in the top 1% of all podcasts in the world for a confidence, and that was where there already was. And so now I'm working on that, right? Now that is what I'm building towards. And what I do in this moment is I get really creative and I have fun thinking about two things. One, who I need to be there already, right? Because it all comes down to the who before the how. And two, the fun ways that I can close the gap between where I'm at now and where there already is. Because when I get into that space and I'm just thinking about, ooh, okay, this could be super fun. Who do I need to be to actually do that? Okay, cool. That takes me into the most beautiful space of being present, making peace with what isn't, right? Making peace with the unknown, making peace with the uncertainty, and just being fully present with where I'm at now and how I can have fun getting there. So fun is a super power energy for me. I love creating from the space of fun. And I also love sinking into the trust that if I was meant to be somewhere else, I would be, right? Like that thought has been one of the most beautiful thoughts that has empowered me through the journey of entrepreneurship, of just saying, I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. And if I was meant to be somewhere else, I would be. And that just really helps me to stay present, stay in the now, not get too far ahead of myself, not have drama about where I'm not, and just really be here. So I also do something that is so counterintuitive to how my brain works. And when I go into the space of wanting to be there already, because old me working in corporate would do more, right? I'd stay extra hours. I would be hustling. I would be creating more. I'd be doing more work. I'd just be overworking. Now I do not do that. So when that indulgence, that temptation to indulge in this wanting to rush or wanting to be there already or wanting to do more or overwork to get there already, what I do now is I do less. And this is so counterintuitive for my brain because I've always been an overworker. That is a space where I feel very safe and very comfortable. It does not feel safe and comfortable to do less. So that is something I have to actively work on because my brain has been wired to see that rest is not valuable, rest is lazy, and that working is productive. But here is the deal, and this is something I see so clearly now with the work that I do when it comes to mindset, is our thoughts create our feelings drive our actions, and our actions create our results. So if I have a thought of I need to do more and I'm starting to take action from the place of exhaustion, I'm not going to create the results that I want, right? So what I get really intentional about now when I'm in this place of doing less is getting really intentional about what do I need to think and who do I need to be to create the results that I want to create. Because the reality is, we can take all the action in the world, but if it's fueled by the wrong feeling and the wrong thought or belief, you're not going to get anywhere. You're just going to be spinning your gears. So you're not actually going to be moving the needle to get where you want to go, and you're going to be exhausting and burning yourself out in the process. So now, when I have that indulgence to overwork, come in, and that temptation is there to rush through things or overwork or do more, I sink into doing less and I rest because recharging is such a powerful way to actually create the results that I want. So instead of taking action from a place of doubt, which of course is going to be so messy, I'm going to be so confused, I'm going to be overthinking it, I'm going to be second guessing myself. We don't want to do any of that because that's just a waste of time and energy, right? I'll take that time to rest. I'll do less. I'll give myself that permission slip. I recharge. I envision who do I need to be there already? What are all the fun ways that I can create to get there? And then I start taking action. And then I get there so much faster. So I really have gotten onto myself with this pattern, because I really struggle with wanting everything now. We are, once again, this is conditioning we've been offered of just that instant gratification type mentality that, you want to see an instant reward for the effort that you put in. This is how society offers us this idea, right? So that is not how it works. So I've really gotten honest with myself about, okay, where is there already? What do I need to do to get there? Who do I need to be? And that is my formula to really help release from needing to do more and sinking into the permission of doing less. And that helps me get there so much faster and so much less, brain damage and brain drama. It's so much less painful to get there this way versus forcing myself to do it, having to rush myself and beat myself up. Oh, God. God. I hate being driven by the not enoughness monster. And I have just I've chosen to re-identify, to see myself as the woman who no longer does that. And changing things on a self-image level has been so powerful for me, because I'm like, oh yeah, I don't do that anymore, right? I'm not somebody who does that anymore. So now I just get to do less and create more. It's so fun. Okay, so that is the third area where I struggle. The next area where I struggle is when it comes to networking. So this, once again, might come as a surprise to you, because y'all see me putting myself out there left and right. But part of me hates it and actually loathes it, I'm not going to lie, because I have never been a person who feels comfortable walking up to a stranger and starting a conversation. So I'm really working on that on an identity level, because I don't want to be that person anymore. I've been an only child my whole entire life, obviously. I have never felt comfortable doing things by myself. I really struggled even going to the grocery store alone, because I feel more comfortable doing things in a pack. It feels safer. That feels so much better to me than doing things by myself. So I'm actively working on changing this part of me, because I no longer want to self-identify as somebody who feels more comfortable doing things in a group. I want to self-identify as somebody who feels comfortable doing things alone. But the reality of me, who I am, is I'm super awkward. I get nervous. I always laugh in moments that aren't the appropriate time to laugh, because laughing is my go-to. You know, like when I feel nervous, I just laugh. Like when I'm uncomfortable, I laugh. So it creates this awkwardness in conversations with strangers. And then I get in my head about things. So people don't believe me when I tell them that I am painfully shy, but I am. I'm the most introverted extrovert you're ever going to meet. And it is so counterintuitive for me to walk into a room and just walk up to people and be like, hi, I'm Elise. Like, that's just not the way that I've done things my whole entire life. And like I said, I'm working on changing that, but I don't want to be a shy person anymore. But the reality of who I am is it takes a lot of energy to put myself out there. And then there are moments where I need multiple days of recharging and resting on the other side of that, because it is a massive energetic output to put myself out there. And that is why I'm so strategic about the events that I'm going to. I make sure that whatever room I'm walking into is going to be filled with women who I actually enjoy talking to, because if I enjoy talking to you, oh my God, I could talk to you all day. And I also have been very strategic about going to these events with women who are openers, meaning they open the door to conversation for me, because I can close conversations all day long. I just hate opening them. It's like, if you think of dating, right? Like, I'm never going to be the person that walked up to a guy. I was always going to wait to be approached. That's just how I've been my whole entire life. So by really collaborating with women who are super comfortable starting conversations, that has made this process so much more comfortable for me. And I am, once again, I'm actively working on getting better at that, because I don't want to identify as this only child who just feels safe and comfortable with other people. So that is work that I'm doing now in this moment to help myself feel more comfortable in spaces where I'm initiating versus only waiting for somebody else to do that work for me. So my formula that has really helped myself go through these experiences, that's just because networking, oh God, even just when I think of that, it just makes me want to cringe, is I don't think of it as networking. I think of it as I'm going to a fun event to go be myself, to do something I would personally enjoy, to have fun. And the second part of it is I go into this with zero expectations and zero attachments to the outcome. I also go into this with a learner's mentality and a list of questions prepared, because look, people love to talk about themselves and I love listening. I love learning. So I go into it with asking questions about what brought them to this event, who they are, what successes looks like for them, what they're doing in their lives, what they're excited about right now, what they, you know, do that lights them up, right? Because I love learning about other people. And this helps me to also feel super comfortable in conversations. I love learning about new people. I love learning about new things. So this has been a really helpful way to help me overcome that discomfort and that struggle moment of feeling uncomfortable when those conversations do start. So that has been an area that has been very painful for me. And I know a lot of other people that I talk to really struggle with networking. So if you are in that place, I see you, I feel you, but just go into it for yourself to have fun, zero expectations, zero attachment to how things are going to go, because that's when things can get really painful, right? It's, I know, like when I went to this last event, I was like, oh my God, I'm going to this for work. I was like, no, Elise, don't even go to that story, because you're going to create so much drama. No. You're going to this as yourself to have fun, because this seemed like an amazing experience, so you're just going to go do that, right? And I ended up having the best time ever. Okay, so the last area where I am personally struggling is when it comes to sharing what I'm going through as I'm going through it. So I have had this pattern of only sharing with you things that I'm on the other side of. So as I'm going through things, let's say with my parents, right? I've talked to you guys about being, in the experience of being a caretaker, having both parents struggling with stage four cancer. So it's sometimes very challenging for me being, in this place of saying like, oh, my mom just got another bad test result and I'm going through a spiral about this because I don't know if next week is going to be a good result, right? So I don't share a lot about what's happening in my life until I'm on the other side of it. And I'm really working to get a lot better about sharing, authentically about what I'm going through in the moment, because I know that is so powerful and it helps so many people when I just am real about what's going on. So when I look at everything that's on my plate between being a new mom, being a caretaker, being a CEO, being a wife, being a head of household, there's so much on my plate that's heavy. And sometimes I don't even know where to start talking about it. And while I teach confidence, I don't always feel confident as I'm navigating these, uncharted territories. I don't know what it looks like to lose a parent yet. I know I've watched so many of my friends go through this in recent months. It's like I feel like every time I open Instagram, I see another friend who's lost a parent. I know that this is going to be something so heavy and so hard as I go through this. And I don't even know how to make peace with that yet, right? So I don't know how to feel confident navigating this as I go through the newness of what this looks like because every stage is new. And even talking about this right now, I feel the emotion coming up. And sometimes it's really challenging for me to talk and feel confident talking about something that I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if my parents are going to die tomorrow. They could die today. I don't know if I have 10 more years with them. I don't know if I have 20 years with them. I have no idea. So I don't know how to talk about that uncertainty because it's something I'm still processing. It's heavy. And this is totally normal. And I want to normalize this in these conversations because life is 50-50. None of us are ever going to feel 100% of any way, 100% of the time, right? Like I have so many women tell me, I just want to be happy all the time. That's not real. That's not reality. That's not how life works. Because look, curveballs come. Your parents are, you might get diagnosed with cancer just like what my parents are going through. You might lose somebody today. You might struggle with getting fired. You might have your relationship go up in flames, right? Like you're never going to feel 100% of the way anytime. So I don't feel confident at times when I'm thinking about what's next with my parents. I don't feel confident as at times when I enter a new chapter of my business and let's say I'm doing a new launch that I've never done before. It is totally normal to not feel confident when you've never done something before, right? There's times where I don't feel confident being a mom and my toddler is literally running like a savage as through campgrounds, falling on his face, scratching his hands and, bumping his head, and I can't keep him up. Right. Yeah, I don't feel confident as a parent in those moments because I don't know how to keep this wild, wild beast that is my son who goes 1,000 miles an hour. I don't know how to keep him safe in this moment. And I was talking to my mom friends this weekend. I'm like, oh my God, I feel like a terrible mom because I can't keep my son upright. And they're like, oh my God, girl, this is totally normal. And I'm like, but what do I do? Do I put him in a bubble suit? It's just so interesting because I'm learning how to feel confident in spaces where my brain wants to be like, oh my God, Elise, you can't even keep your son from falling. Okay, that is a normal part of kids learning how to walk. My God. But there's moments where I don't feel confident, like I just told you about looking in the mirror, seeing my wrinkles or how different my body looks after having a baby. Like, look, my body is not the same as what it used to be. And I'm still going through the process of learning how to love this body and the form that it's in now. So there are moments where I don't know how to talk yet about the struggles that I'm navigating in those moments of insecurity, but I do know there are moments of insecurity, right? And I've gotten a lot better about keeping it real about where I'm at with the people in my life. And I'm working to, keep that realness in the conversations that I'm having with you or when I show up on social media. But I would be 100% lying if I told you I didn't feel like an imposter some of the times because I'm out there, talking about it once I'm on the other side. And I'm like, wait, I need to be talking about it as I'm going through it. And I found it to be so healing. Just like when I put up this post on Instagram, five things that I'm struggling with and how social media is not real. It was so healing and so cathartic with me to have those conversations with you all in the DMs. And it was so powerful to know, oh my God, this is helpful for other people because they're going through it too. And I got coaching on this, and I talked about this in the post that was absolutely life-changing because I was at a mastermind. And I was telling the person who was coaching me, I feel like a total fraud because I came into that mastermind with the most beautiful PowerPoint deck prepared, buttoned up, because I didn't want them to be able to say shit to me about my business. Okay, but let's be real. I was going to that mastermind to grow my business. So, of course, my business was going to be torn apart. People were going to ask me questions. And when that started, oh my God, the imposter syndrome went to level 10. I felt like I was so uncomfortable. I wanted to jump out of my skin. I hysterically started crying in front of the room and I was mortified because here I am teaching confidence, having an insecurity-fueled breakdown in front of the room, and I felt like the biggest imposter of my life because I'm out here teaching confidence, but all I felt like was the most insecure, vulnerable piece of shit in the moment. And I'm like, everybody's judging me. And I literally was just having this meltdown publicly, and the coach stopped me and she's like, look, you are the perfect person to teach confidence because sometimes we need to teach what we need to learn the most. And I was like, oh my God. And it just set me free in an instant, and it helped me to humanize myself in my own mind versus just completely demonizing myself when I had an insecurity spiral. And now I know all I have to do is take my medicine that I serve to you and to my clients and to all the women that I talk to on a daily basis, and then share that with others, because that is me being a product of my product. So it is not a problem in my mind anymore when my brain wants to go to an insecure place, because that is the 50-50-ness of life, right? So my formula to help myself through this when that imposter syndrome comes up is to do what I talked about on last week's podcast, right? Doing my success snaps, hosting my failure girls nights, my failure parties, looking at my lifetime achievement deck to show myself, oh my God, I am a success. I have done remarkable things, and to celebrate those micro wins, right? I lean into my elevation squad so hard now, and I get really raw and really vulnerable about how I'm feeling to receive support to go through it, right? There's moments I write myself love letters. If I'm having a moment of feeling insecure in my body, I'll write that part of my body a love letter and then read it to myself in the mirror, looking into my eyes to help myself connect in with that part of my body. There are moments where I will say, okay, Elise, if you were feeling level 10 confident right now, what would you do and what would you not do? And that helps me to see, okay, this is just a moment. This insecurity is just a moment, because the way that I used to operate before is these insecurity spirals would last months. And I'm not joking, if not years. Like, there would be someone could say one thing to me, and it would be years of my life that I would be in my head obsessing about this, like, oh my God, I can't believe she said that, right? Now, those moments are seconds, maybe minutes at the longest, because I've done so much work on myself to where it's something that is still, it can be there. Like I talked about earlier with my skin, I might have a moment of insecurity when I look in the skin or when I look at my skin in the mirror, but that moment is not ruining my day. That moment is not me losing presence with my son because now all of a sudden I'm in my head about my skin. Like when I posted that unfiltered picture in the Instagram post, I literally posted it, felt a cringe for maybe 90 seconds, and then I just moved on with my day. It was no big deal. It didn't spin me out in the way that it used to. So that is what I want you to know about feelings as a whole, is once you get into the practice of experiencing a feeling, it can take 90 seconds or less to actually fully process that emotion and let it go in your body. But if you don't know how to do that, and that's something I lacked the awareness on before, I had no idea how to process emotions, and I would hide from them at all costs. I would avoid them, not knowing that that made them bigger, and not knowing that creating more resistance to the feeling was spinning me out even more. So now that I understand that, I know I'm 90 seconds away at any given moment from being fully processed through this feeling and going on and living my best life, right? So that is when I think of myself showing up and struggling with feeling confident at every moment. Now I just know that's not real, right? And people will ask me when they join the CAN program, oh, on the other side of this, am I going to feel all this confident all the time? I'm like, no. And they're like, what? Oh, so you can't guarantee confidence? I'm like, no, because you're not going to feel anyway 100% of the time. So sorry if that's like bad news for you, but that's just the reality of being a human being. We are made to experience emotions all the time, right? Like, we can't have happiness without sadness. We can't have light days without dark days. They're all equally valuable. So we have to stop demonizing what we call negative emotions and just allow all emotions to be valid, allow all emotions to be relevant, and not, you know, make it a problem if you have an insecurity spiral, because that's just a normal part of life. So those are my five places I'm struggling, my beautiful friends. Thank you for being here with me in this conversation and allowing me to be raw and real and vulnerable with you. I hope that me sharing what is currently on my plate and what I'm struggling with is helpful for you to be a permission slip to have you start having conversations with people in your life about this, because this is real. This is what all of us as women are going through. And while your 5 points might look different than mine, it's just the realness of what life is. And I want you to feel empowered and secure and confident sharing these parts of your life, because you will be shocked how many other women are going to open up to you and be like, oh my God, I'm going through the same thing. And it ends up being the most beautiful, cathartic experience to be able to have those real, vulnerable conversations. And you will be so blown away by the amount of love and support and connection that is there waiting for you on the other side of that authenticity. And I look forward to you having that moment. So if you need somebody to talk to about all of the things going on in your life, please shoot me a message on Instagram. I love talking with women about the realness and the 50-50 that is life, and helping give you little antidotes or little awareness exercises or just even new thoughts or beliefs to hold on to in those moments that you are going through this. So if you need that support, shoot me a message on Instagram at Your Soul Makeup, and we can have a conversation, because you are not alone in this. You are not the only person going through this. You are not the sole person who has moments of struggle. And I want you to see that these struggles are normal and that they will serve as the most beautiful fuel when you learn how to process these things. So my inbox is always open for you. I want to see you in there. And now I'm going to go take a nap and recharge and recover from this glamping experience with my toddler, because holy moly, I'm exhausted. All right. I hope you all have the most beautiful week, and I will see you back here next Monday for our next episode. Have a beautiful week, friends. Sending you all so much love. Oh, hey, thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If this helps you, I would love for you to share the gift of confidence with a friend, because this is how we all grow. So share this with your girls, a coworker, a fellow mama, or your fam on social media, because we all need support in our confidence journey. So sharing can help us heal, feel better, and take steps to grow now. Also, I'd love if you would drop your rating in. Ratings and reviews help me so much more than you realize. And if you found yourself listening today and thinking, I need professional support, I would love to invite you to join the CAN program, where I will teach you how to take confident action now. If increased confidence is what you want, this is multiple months of dedicated you time where we will do the deep work on you to create your most confident self, both personally and professionally. Because once you know how to generate the feeling of confidence from the inside out, the possibilities become endless and your results become inevitable. This is the most valuable investment you will ever make in yourself, and I cannot wait to see who you become on the other side of doing this work on you. So visit me at soulmakeup.com to learn more, or come be my bestie on Instagram. You can find me at Your Soul Makeup. See you next time.